Gopi Janna Ballava Kirivaradhari Gopi Janna Ballava Kirivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janadandana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janadandana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Another kartal. Another kartal. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. One more kartal. Another kartal. Jamuna Chira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Ballava Girivaradhari Gopi Janna Ballava Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Juna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the chapter is The Demigods Appeal to the Lord. Padamahiyam swa kutai vayasya. Padamahiyam swa prasidatam brahma mahavibhutihi. Padamahiyam swakritai vayasya chaturvito yatrahi bhuta sargaha savai mahapurusha atmatantra prasidatam brahma mahavibhutihi. Vaishnavis, padau mahiyam swakritae vayasya chaturvido yatra hi bhuta sargaha savai mahapurusha atmatantra prasidatam brahma mahavibhutihi. Padau, his lotus feet. Mahi, the earth. Iyam, this. Swakrita, created by himself. Eva, indeed. Yasya, of whom. Chaturvidha, of four kinds of living entities. Yatra, wherein he, indeed, bhuta sargaha, material creation, saha, he, vai, indeed, mahapurushaha, the supreme person, atmatantra, self-sufficient, prasidatam, may he be merciful to us, brahma, the greatest, maha vibhutihi, with unlimited potency. Translation: on this earth there are four kinds of living entities who are all created by him. The material creation rests on his lotus feet. He is the great supreme person, full of opulence and power. May he be pleased with us. Would you like to repeat? Nanda, you want to repeat? I'll say you repeat. I just wanted to know if you're interested. On this earth, there are four kinds of living entities who are all created by him. The material creation rests on his lotus feet. He is the great supreme person, full of opulence and power. May he be pleased with us. Can anybody do it from memory now? Give it a try. Go ahead. Try to make a mistake, though. Okay, paraphrase. Give him a hand. What a memory. That's pretty good. Who else? Let's do it one more time. Pay attention, and then you can try too. On this earth, there are four... Okay, you want to repeat? Will that help? All right, I'll say. On this earth, there are four kinds of living entities who are all created by Him. The material creation rests on His lotus feet. He is the great supreme person, full of opulence and power. May He be pleased with us. So there's only a few parts. One is, on this earth, there are four kinds of living entities. That's one thing. They're all created by Him. That's another thing. The material creation rests on His lotus feet. That's three. He is the great supreme person, full of opulence and power. That's four. May be pleased with us. That's five. Just five simple parts. Who wants to try now? But please make a mistake. From this side, let's have the Vaishnavis against the Vaishnavs. Somebody try. Yes. I'll repeat because we can't hear you. On this earth, there are four kinds of created beings. Oh, we'll get you a mic.
They are created by the Supreme
Start
Being.
Over. And hold it real close.
On this earth, there are four kinds of created beings. They're all created by the Supreme Personality. He is the most opulent. I forget the fourth one. We bow down to the great Supreme Lord.
And there's a place where it's resting. Where are they all resting?
Under His lotus feet.
And then there's a request at the end.
So we take shelter.
It's a may He be pleased with us. I'll say it again. Let's try to get it this time. On this earth, I'll do like Maharaj would do. On this earth, there are four kinds of living entities who are all created by Him. The material creation rests at His lotus feet. He is the great supreme person, full of opulence and power. May He be pleased with us. Who'd like to try from the Vaishnava section? How about from this side? Somebody give it a try, but please at least make one mistake. Okay, go ahead. Give him the mic quick, because this is going to be profound.
On this earth, there are four kinds of living beings. They're all created by Him. Everything rests on His lotus feet. He is the most opulent. May He be pleased with us.
Haribo! Very good. We'll say it once more time. One more time. On this earth, there are four kinds of living entities who are all created by Him. The material creation rests on His lotus feet. He is the great supreme person, full of opulence and power. May He be pleased with us. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The word Mahi refers to the five material elements, earth, water, air, fire, and sky, which rest upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mat padam punya yasho mararehe. The Mahat Tattva, the total material energy, rests on His lotus feet. For the cosmic manifestation is but another opulence of the Lord. In this cosmic manifestation, there are four kinds of living entities. Jarayuja, those born from embryos. Undaja, those born from eggs. Swedhaja, those born from perspiration. And Ubhibja, those born from seeds. Everything is generated from the Lord, has confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadyasya Yataha. No one is independent, but the Supreme Soul is completely independent. Janmadyasya Yaton Vayad Itaratash Charte Swabhigna Swarat. The word Swarat means independent. We are dependent, whereas the Supreme Lord is completely independent. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the greatest of all. Even Lord Brahma, who created the cosmic manifestation, is but another opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Question, what is Brahma? Even Brahma is what? I'll say it again. Even Lord Brahma, who created the cosmic manifestation, is but another opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who's Brahma? Another opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Correct. The material creation is activated by the Lord. Who activates the creation? Who activates the creation? Correct. The material creation is activated by the Lord, and therefore the Lord is not a part of the material creation. The Lord exists in His original spiritual position. The universal form of the Lord, Vairaja Murti, is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Before we move on, who can get any of the points from the purport? Can you remember? One thing that you can remember, yes. The Lord is independent. Wow, good one. Maharaj? He's in His own spiritual position. Yes. Nice. I mean, not nice, but nice for you to remember. Very good. Nanda. The Lord is not created. He always existed. Yes? Lord Brahma is another opulence of the Lord. From the Vaishnavi side. I know we used up a lot over here, but see what you can get. Okay, let's hear the purport one more time. Maharaj? He's apart from the creation. Apart. Yeah, separated. Let's hear it one more time. Okay? No? Okay. The word Mahi refers to the five material elements, earth, water, air, fire, and sky, which rests upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahatpadam punya yasho mararehe. The Mahat-tattva, the total material energy, rests on His lotus feet, for the cosmic manifestation is but another opulence of the Lord. In this cosmic manifestation, there are four kinds of living entities. Jarayu, ja, those born from embryos. Undaja, those born from eggs. Swedaja, those born from perspiration. And Udbija, those born from seeds. Everything is generated from the Lord, as confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadyasa Yataha. No one is independent, but the Supreme Soul is completely independent. Janmadyasa Yaton Vayad Itaratash Charte Swabhigna Swarat. The word Swarat means independent. We are dependent, whereas the Supreme Lord is completely independent. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the greatest of all. Even Lord Brahma, who created the cosmic manifestation, is but another opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The material creation is activated by the Lord, and therefore the Lord is not a part of the material creation. The Lord exists in His original spiritual position. The universal form of the Lord, Vairaja Murti, is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, points from this side. What'd you get? Mataji.
Earth, water, fire, air, and ether, they rest on the lotus feet of the Lord.
Thank you. Good one. Yes.
Because the Lord is completely independent, He is the greatest of all.
Yes. Good one. Still catching up here.
We are dependent, but the Lord is completely independent.
Independent. Perfect. Unamas, yes. Right here.
The creation is an opulence of the Lord, and Lord Brahma is also an opulence of the Lord.
Opulence of the Lord. Good one. Okay. Shall we do a Mangalacharna? Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Vidatam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. Does everybody know it all the way through? Do you have songbook? Give songbooks to everyone who doesn't know it all the way through, who couldn't just sit here and say it by memory all the way through. Who could say it all the way through by memory? Okay, for everyone else, give them a songbook. Is it in that? That little thing? That little bitty thing? It's good with these prayers. Whatever prayers are done regularly, everyone can have a handout, because then everyone can learn it going forward. Imho. Krishna, Krishna. That's what I mean by everyone's on the same page. If everyone can be together with all the prayers and everything like that. Well, I'll just do that part then for now. And maybe tomorrow we'll get a printout. Or, I don't know, tomorrow I don't know if everyone will do it. Okay, so take those on page one. Anybody who doesn't know the Mangalacharna. Cell phone, iPhone. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, Gopremanande, Hare, Hare, Bo. So what does the first prayer in the Mangalacharna mean? The Om Ajnana Timirandasya. Without reading it, just say what it means. Could I have the microphone?
I was born in the darkest ignorance, but the spiritual master opened my eyes with the light of knowledge.
Therefore,
I offer my obeisances unto him.
Nice. Good. Thank you. What about the second verse? Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam. What does that mean? Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Haiyam Tadati Swapadantikam. Who knows the spirit of that verse? Has heard anything about it? Here, Nityananda Pran. Oh, yes.
It's offering obeisance to Srila Rupa Goswami, who knows and teaches the essence of Lord Chaitanya's teachings.
Why would we offer obeisances all of a sudden to Rupa Goswami at the beginning, right after, to the spiritual masters, open our eyes? Then why do we say Rupa Goswami?
Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Rupa Goswami as his representative to propagate teachings, and we follow Rupa Goswami's teachings as Rupanugas, as we call. So he's the person whose writings we look up to as authoritative for us.
So we're known as Rupanugas? Yes. What does Rupanuga mean?
Rupanuga means one who follows Rupa Goswami.
Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam. What does Mano Bhishtam mean? Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam. Anyone? It's pretty nice. So he knows the heart, the mind, the purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam. There's a pastime that shows that in the Antilila, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which Srila Rupa Goswami, when at Rathiatra, had heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu singing a song at Rathiatra. It was actually a secular song, something like you'd hear in regular, you might hear it at the supermarket or something like that. But it related to loving affairs. And Mahaprabhu was reciting that verse and going into ecstasy. So Rupa Goswami understood why he was going in ecstasy and why he was singing that song. So he composed his own verse, parallel verse. And then he left it on the thatch on the top of the roof of his little hut. And he went down to take bath in the sea. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just coming back from his bath, then saw that little scroll sticking in the roof of Rupa Goswami. He took it out and read it. And when he met Rupa Goswami, he mildly slapped him and he said, "How did you know my mind? How did you know what I was thinking?" And later on, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced Rupa Goswami to all the Vaishnavas, the great stalwart devotees who were there said that you have empowered him, therefore he knows perfectly what your heart is, what your mind is. So this is revealed knowledge. It comes through a line of teachers who perfectly know the heart, the will, the mood of the Supreme Personality of God. It actually, these associates of the Lord are eternal associates, and they have a role in the Lord's pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. Therefore, by hearing from them, by following them, we're able to traverse the path that goes back to Goloka Vrindavan. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale. In this world, Bhutale, he's Stapitam, he's established the system through which everyone can advance to the highest position. Stapitam Yena Bhutale. Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam. So we offer ourselves at his lotus feet. And then the next series of prayers goes on to offer obeisances to whom? Approximately. Yes. Yes, Gurun, there's a plurality of gurus, right? What are the plurality of gurus? When we say Shri Guru and Shikshu Guru, what else? How many gurus are there? One? That's pretty good. Who said that? Who said one? Prabhuji, yeah. One guru, but manifested variously, because Krishna is the guru, but he comes in localized ways. So let's name the various ways that he appears to give mercy to living entities. Vartmana Pratakshaka Guru, which is the guru who shows one the path, then Shiksha Guru, then any other gurus? Chaita Guru. So there's a plurality of gurus. Well, who's more important, the Shiksha Guru or the Diksha Guru? Well, one plants the seed, the other helps waters the seed. Which is more important, planting the seed or watering the seed? Trick question. They're equally important. They're equally important, and this is what is stated in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And therefore, when we offer these obeisances, we're offering obeisances to all the various gurus who are helping us to come closer to Krishna. And then we have, Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindo, Dina Bando, Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute. I'm really in the hot seat here. This is hot weather here. What does that verse mean? Yes. What is that? The friend of the
poor living entities.
What do you mean by the friend of the poor?
No, we are wandering in this material world.
Hey Krishna, no, Karuna Sindo, Dina Bando, Jagatpate. Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute. What does it mean?
He shows compassion to the poor living entities.
Who does?
Lord.
Lord Krishna?
Yes.
Okay. So what does it mean? Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindo. What is Karuna Sindo?
Ocean of mercy.
Yeah, can we even conceive what that means? An ocean of mercy. Karuna Sindo. Then?
Dina Bandho.
What does that mean?
Fallen.
Friend of the fallen. What does that mean? Who are the fallen? Is there volunteers? No, it's amazing though. It's somebody who's friend of the fallen. A friend of the fallen souls, an ocean of mercy. These are beautiful statements about the Lord. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindho, Dina Bando, Jagatpate means? Lord of the universe. So he controls everything. He's also all merciful. He's also the supreme controller. He's also the friend of all living entities. That's pretty good. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindo, Dina Bando, Jagatpate. Then? Gopesha, Gopika Kanta means? He is describing his personal associates, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute. So offering obeisances to Lord Krishna. Then, Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi means, who's this offering obeisances to? And what is her, what is the description?
Molten gold.
Molten gold. Her complexion is golden. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, which means what?
Queen of the
Lord. Gopesha Gopika Kanta. Gopesha Gopesha Gopika Kanta. Okay, so Gopesha Gopika Kanta. You have the word for word, go ahead. Gopesha.
Is the master of, or the lord of the cowherd boys and girls. Gopika Kanta is he who energizes or makes them happy, and Radha Kanta, who makes Srimati Radharani happy.
Thank you very much. Then we have Sri Krishna Chaitanya, no, we have Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Any personal realization you have of that verse or what it means? And while you're thinking about it, can I move this asan over here? Because I'm getting a sunburn here in Chicago. Yes, Maharaj, please. Could you bring Maharaj the microphone, please?
We offer our respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who give us shade, like shadow, you know, it's a shelter. They're like desire trees, and they fulfill the desires of everyone. And so that's it. Just like you had us coming into the shade, away from the blazing fire of material existence. So we take shelter of great Vaishnavas. So that's my realization. I'm taking shelter of you.
This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Sanatan Goswami begin with an extensive discussion of how important association with Vaishnavas is. And if somebody can adjust this so it doesn't slide down, and if somebody can invent a microphone that doesn't slide down, then we can pay for everything in ISKCON. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Today's verse, on this earth there are four kinds of living entities who are all created by Him. The material creation rests on His lotus feet. He is the great Supreme Person, full of opulence and power. May He be pleased with us. The word Mahi refers to the five material elements, earth, water, air, fire, and sky, which rests upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahat Padam Punya Yasho Maradihe. The Mahat Tattva, the total material energy, rests on His lotus feet, for the cosmic manifestation is but another opulence of the Lord. So this verse that is Prabhupada gives in fragmented form in this purport. Sama shriteye padapalava plavam mahat padam punya yasho maradehe pavam budir batsa padam param padam 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 yad vipadam natesham. Sama shriteye padapalava plavam. This means that the Lord's lotus feet are the shelter of the entire cosmic manifestation. Sama shriteye padapalava plavam. They're just like their lotus feet, very beautiful. Mahaparam punya yasho maradehe. And Krishna is famous as the slayer of the Murari demon, Murari. So therefore he's known as Murari. Samasriteye padapalava palavam mahaparam punya yasho maradehe. Bhavam buddhir vatsa padam param padam padam param yad vipadam natesham. And this is describing how this bhavam buddhir vatsa padam, for the Vatsapadam. A Vatsa means a calf. Vatsapadam. So the hoof print of a calf. Calf makes an impression in the mud, on the earth, and then this whole cosmic manifestation. For those who take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it actually becomes easy to cross over, because when one approaches the Supreme Shelter, then the entire cosmic manifestation, which is created by the Lord as his Leela, it's called the Srishti Leela. This entire world is going on eternally, and it emanates from the breath. As the gigantic form of the Supreme Personality of the Lord, the Mahapurusha, breathes out. Yashaika nishva sitaka lamata valambya jivanti loma vilajajaka nandanata Vishnur mahan saya iha yasya kala vishesho govindamadi purushamta mahambhajami. As he's exhaling, all the worlds are manifest. How many years between breaths? 311 trillion years is one exhalation. And during that time, the Brahmas are manifest, and Brahma then manifests the universe. There are days and nights during which there are partial creations of the universe. Much of the universe is destroyed up to a certain level in the universe. Many of the denizens of the higher planetary systems then have to catch a flight. They all get on airplanes, billions of them, and transport themselves to higher planetary systems. And then at the end, when he inhales again, everything is again destroyed, and it's wound up within the body of Mahavishnu. And his expectation, the Lord's hope, as mentioned in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when he manifests this world as his Leela, is to give the Nitya Bhada, the eternally conditioned souls, an opportunity to come back to Godhead. What are some of the ways that he does that? When he manifests the universe, he doesn't leave us without a connection to him. And he offers ways, tirtas. Tirta means a bridge, a way in which the living entities can connect to him. So what are some of the ways that he does that? Yes. Do we still have the microphone?
With the Vedic sacrifices that allow us to live in harmony with the material world, he includes his name as a reminder that he is the benefactor of all these sacrifices.
Nice. And what about sacrifice itself? What does he say about that?
I am the fire and the offering and the everything.
Very good. What else does he say about sacrifice in general? For instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's pretty spectacular. Oh, Nityananda Pran Prabhu is ready to go.
That he has created the system of sacrifice as a means of cooperation between the demigods and the living beings, so that their needs and subsistence can be given to them by the demigods when they offer sacrifice from the fruits of their labor.
Does anybody know the verse? Besides you? Any of the verses in the Bhagavad Gita that refer to sacrifice, can somebody quote it? Okay, Maharaj is ready to go.
Saha yagya praja shrishtva purvacha prajapatihi. That's how it starts.
Anina
prashivishyadun kamadug vishvakshena or something.
Who has their Gita still?
Saha yagya praja shrishtva purvacha prajapatihi.
It's in the third chapter. Sahajagna prajashvishta purvacha prajapati anina prashvishyatam eshavos tvishtakamaduk. And another verse about sacrifice? Someone else? Yes, Nanda? Start from the beginning so we can hear it.
Yagnasistasnya sanjo mucyante sarva
kunjate
bunjate te tvam papa ye pachyat atmakarana
ye pachantya akarana means
those. I mean, I can give you the gist, I
okay.
guess. The if we eat the food without offer or sacrifice, we just consume ourselves without offering to Lord Krishna first, then we are going to get nothing but sin.
Yeah, this whole in chapter 3, Krishna mentions a cycle of sacrifice through which one is nourished, and there are many benefits. Yes, Nityananda? You want to say? Okay. Maharaj?
Yagnaratat karmanon yatra loko yang karma bandhanaha tad aratam karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara, which means that activities should be performed for the sacrifice of Vishnu in order to free oneself from the bondage of karma.
Yeah, at the beginning of creation, the Lord gave sacrifice so that one could actually become nourished and at the end go back home, back to Godhead. And what else?
Bhuktaram jagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram sushridam sarvabhutana gyatvamam shantim richati.
Means? Why did you quote that verse?
Because he is the one who is the benefactor of all the sacrifices.
Okay. Bhuktaram yagya tapasam. So, at the very beginning of creation, when Brahma comes out, he's in complete darkness. I had this happen to me recently because I went into a sensory deprivation chamber where there's no light. And then at the end of my session in the sensory deprivation, I was trying to find the door and I couldn't find it. And I was thinking of Lord Brahma. And I was remembering how he was in complete darkness when he came out into the lotus flower. And he was just trying to find the source of his existence. So what did he do? Well, first, he got a little clue. What was that clue? Tapa means? Do austerities. It means heat. You got to do some sacrifice. And by that sacrifice, then you can get everything. So in the Gita, Krishna also says that the eternal transcendence is ever present in sacrifice. So this is one of the ways in which when he creates the universe, the Srishti Lila, he gives this injunction by sacrifice. Those who know this, they understand this is the great wealth of life, to perform sacrifice. To name a few other ways, very specific ways in which during the Srishti Lila, the Lord's pastime of creating the material world in his breathing, how he reaches out to living entities who are in darkness to give them a chance to come back to Godhead. What are some of the ways? Yes.
He's present as the super soul next to the soul as his friend in the heart of the living entity.
Prove it. The way you prove something in a court of law is you quote from the law books. You have to give precedent, you have to give a verse, like Brown versus Board of Education. Go ahead, you still have to prove it. Give us a verse that proves what you said. You have to back it up. Otherwise, Shruti Smiti Puranadi Pancha Chiki Vidimbina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktiru Patayaiva Kalpate. If you give theories and they don't match up with the Shruti, the Smiti, the Pancha Chiki Vidhi, then it becomes a disturbance to society. What's the verse you're thinking about? Where's it from? It says that he's within everyone's heart.
Yes, Bhagavad Gita.
Is it in the Bhagavad Gita? You sure? You'll put something on that? Anybody? Bhagavad Gita. Yes, Nityananda. Let's say it together. Sarvasya chaham vridhi sannivishto mattak smitir jnanam apohanam cha vedaishta sarvir ahameva vedyo vedanta kridveda videva chaham. Another one. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam prittipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. Another one. Tesham ivanakam partam maham ajnana chamtamaha nashyam yatma bhavasto jnana dipena bhashvata. Another one. Ishvara sarvabhutanam ridesher junatishtiti brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudrani mayaya. Four verses for you to prove your statement. This is an important point, that Krishna is there within the heart. In fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhava says to Krishna that even if I had the lifespan of Brahma, I would not be able to express enough gratitude to you, because not only do you appear externally as a spiritual master, but you also appear internally as the spiritual master who guides me from within the heart on your own true path back to home, back to Godhead. So it's a good point. He's there guiding us from within the heart. How close is he to us? Tadejati tanaijati tadure tadvantike tadantarasya sarvasya taru sarvasya sibayata. The Lord is far away, but he's very near as well. He's right there with us all the time. And in fact, in Gajendra's prayers, he says that the Lord is never inattentive. He's never inattentive. He uses the word alash. He's never lazy. He's always there, because Prabhupada mentions that Gajendra offered prayers and the Lord came to save him. But it's not that the Lord's not there watching and attentive. Before we offer prayers, he's also there waiting. Stops at 8:30? Oh, okay. What other ways? Name two other ways that the Lord reaches out to the living entities in the material world. Yes. He appears himself. Say it again in the microphone so we get the full.
He appears himself.
Then give some examples.
Parichanaya sarunam vinasaya chaduskritam. Dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge.
Good, good. And what are some examples of the way he's appeared? Name a few. How does he appear? What forms?
Krishna, Ramachandra, Shingradev, Vamana, Buddha.
Good.
Kauki.
Yeah. What other kind of incarnations does the Lord appear in this world? Different kinds of incarnations.
Shaktivesh avatar.
Shaktivesh. Name two Shaktivesh avatars.
Lord Buddha.
Yes.
Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vyasadeva. Yes. Jesus Christ. Yes. What other ways, what other kind of incarnations does the Lord appear in this world to give specifically to help the living entities here? What other incarnations? Yes? Yuga avatars. Name some Yuga avatars.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is, I think, Jagya. And also Lord Varaha. And
Satyayuga, Hamsa,
Kapiladev.
No? Kapiladev.
Kapiladev was.
Okay. And what other kinds of incarnations? Yes?
Nama avatar.
Which kind?
Nama avatar.
Nama avatar. What's that?
He comes in the form of his own names, his own holy names.
He appears as his holy names. Can you prove it?
Satatam kirtiyanta mam yatantascha driddhavrata namashyantascha mam bhaktya. Nitya yukta upasthit. Nitya yukta means always connected with me, becomes always connected by this process.
Okay. Can anybody give a more direct verse that says that the Lord incarnates in his name?
Harinam. Harinam Harinam Eve Kevalam Kalonast Nakalonast Dev Nasdeva Gitiranyata. And then there's the other one, Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Iti Shodashaka Nam Nam, Kali Kalmashu Nashanam, Nataha Paratar Vaipaya, Sarva Videshi Drishyate.
Means?
Means he appears in the form of this 16-worded mantra, Iti Shodashaka Nam Nam, Kali Kalmashu Nashanam, that in Kali Yuga, all of the faults of Kali Yuga will be completely destroyed. Nataha Paratar Vaipaya, there's no process higher than this. And Sarva Videshu Drishyate means all scriptures pronounce this.
Thank you very much. Prabhu, you have a verse also?
Yeah, you sound very nice. It was Kali Kali Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar, so that verse.
Say what it means.
The Lord incarnates as a holy name, essentially, so.
Especially in the Kali Yuga.
Yeah,
Kali, 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 Kali Kali. Kali means within the age of Kali. He appears as an incarnation, as the holy name, right? So, name a couple other ways that he comes in this world, Krishna, to save us. How about the Ganges? He appears as the Ganges in this world. How else? Prasadam?
Book, the old system.
Book.
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Yeah. So who can give a verse that shows that Krishna is incarnated in the form of a book? Is there a book incarnation? Yes.
Krishna Swadhamo Pagate. Krishna Swadhamo Pagate. Second line. Dharma Gyana Dibis Kalau Nashta Drusham Esham Puranarko Adhunoditaha. That Krishna has returned to his eternal abode along with religiosity and transcendental knowledge. However, simultaneously, the Srimad Bhagavatam has risen in Kali Yuga as the sun, as bright as the sun, to give us the same knowledge about him.
That's incarnated. Krishna is incarnated as the Bhagavatam. And then, Idam Bhagavatam Nama. Anybody know that verse? Do you have a shloka book? It's nice also to have shloka books for everybody, because that way during classes when shlokas come up, you could just go through and look at them. We have a system in ISV that we used to use shloka books, but now we have a pundit sitting in our booth and we have two screens, one here, one there. And every time a verse comes up in the class, it comes up on the screen so you can see it and look at it. But if you carry a shloka book around with you in your bag, brahmacharis, brahmacharinis, devotees, they should always have a shloka book, and that way if you hear one, you can look it up and then go over it, and then you'll remember it. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Paranam Brahma Samhitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nishreya Shaya Lokasya Dhanam Swastayanam Mahat. That one specifically says that the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is completely perfect, has appeared as an incarnation in this age. And it's meant, yes?
I don't know the verse further, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, correct?
Yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu according to the Chaitanya Manjusha, has given this. He lists the most important tenets of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, in which he says, Ramya Kachid Upasana Vrajavidu Vargena Vokalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. Puranam Amalam Prema Pumarto Mahan. That the Srimad Bhagavatam is the perfect authority on everything for the Vaishnavas. For everybody, actually, but the Vaishnavas accept that wholeheartedly. So we can fully take advantage of the various ways in which Krishna has come to this world. And then, of course, the Sankirtan movement means to make these available to people in ways that they can also connect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's the source of the creation. Otherwise, as is being mentioned here, these elements that everyone's, the living entities are simply caught up in this lower energy of the Lord. As Krishna mentions the energies in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhumir apo analo vayu kam mano bhudirevacha ahankara ityame bina prakritir ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And then he says, besides these inferior energies, apariyamitas tanyam prakritim vidimi param jiva bhutam mahabaho ya yedam daryate jagat. There's a superior energy, which are the living entities who are caught up in this and are struggling with this lower inferior energy. So one of the ways in which Chi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us to reach out to the fallen souls in this age is through a performance of public Harinam Sankirtan. Is that correct? Is it true? Can you prove it? You can prove it?
Kirtanai prayer.
Huh?
Jagyai Sankirtanai prayer. Jayantihi Sumedasaha.
What does that mean?
It means that those who have good intelligence will worship the personality of Godhead in this age of Kali by Sankirtan Jagya.
Sankirtan Jagya. What does the word Sankirtan mean?
Kirtan means to glorify the Lord, means to chant. And sang comes from samyak, which means all together now.
All together now.
All together now. All together now. Now.
Do you have a copy of Our Family Business by any chance? Can I look? I'll pay for it if I have to. Okay.
You have to sign it.
Sankirtan means all together now. Samyak, kirtan. And what does kirtan mean? What's the root of that? Kirti, which means fame. To expand somebody's fame, right? So to samyak kirtan, and then combinedly the devotees come together to glorify the Lord. But what does it look like? What does sankirtan look like? You're smiling, you know. He's got an answer. Tell what it looks like. Go ahead. We're among friends here. You don't worry about things.
It looks like people singing and dancing and jumping and smiling. And it looks like happiness.
Nice. Maharaj?
In addition to that, well-dressed, looking neat, looking tidy, happy, doing it together in unison, synchronized, like that.
Nice.
They're moving like a wheat and together.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated this Sankirtan, didn't he? Did he? Did he start it? Where did he start it? Where did it all start? Thank you so much. Where? Srivasangam. And then? And what happened first when they went out? Somebody called the cops. Said, these guys can't do this. This is bogus. It's interrupting. Even the Hindus said, this is interrupting our religious practice. Everyone, no one knew what it was. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated this process of public chanting of Hare Krishna, and the police came, and they broke stuff. They broke drums. They said, don't do it anymore. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu organized a civil disobedience rally in which tens of thousands, actually millions of people came, because even demigods descended to take part in that one. And then they got permission after that. They got permission to go out and do Harinam Sankirtan. But it always happens. There's always some struggle when we go out and we present the Harinam outside. Is Sankirtan, does it mean only the congregational chanting with drums and cymbals? Is that the only thing it means? What else does it mean? Does it mean selling stickers and hats?
No.
Is that Sankirtan? Are you sure? Some people have called it that before. Why isn't it? Does Sankirtan mean selling stickers and hats to collect money? Huh? No. Indirectly, okay. Because it facilitates a higher purpose? Does anybody, Maharaj, you want to comment on that? Devamrita Swami suddenly sprung to life over there.
Not the stickers and hats, but the paintings and the candles.
Would you like to say something about it? About it in general? Is it indirect Sankirtan? Is it? Can we call that Sankirtan?
You call it support of the temple finances.
Support of the temple finances.
Yes.
What if you're selling paintings and you put all the money into it, passing out books?
All right. Support of the book distribution.
Okay. But would you be hesitant to call it Sankirtan?
Are you putting me on the spot?
No, you're an authority, so...
I wouldn't do it, but, you know, it's a pluralistic ISKCON these days, so...
Okay, and I'm not really trying to put you on the spot, it's just that we have such deep respect for you and what you represent. Why would you be reticent about calling it Sankirtan? Even though you could really stretch things and say that, knowing what you know and who you are.
I prefer the strict usage, which applies to an activity that's directly glorifying Krishna and directly distributing the glories of Krishna, whether in the form of sound or the literary incarnation.
Okay. Why do you prefer that?
Otherwise, we can get really way off track, which we never do, of course, but...
It's possible, though, right? You have to. It's better to be strict about these things.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I would like to make a case for book distribution being Sankirtan, because there's a way in which sometimes people think that by becoming strict the other way and saying Sankirtan only means chanting Hare Krishna in public with kartals and madanga. This is the only Sankirtan. And that this book distribution is sort of a new idea as far as Sankirtan goes. Would you allow me to try to make that case? Yes? Okay. I'll read a section from this book called Literary Kirtan and the Yuga Dharma, from the chapter Literary Kirtan and Yuga Dharma. This is subtitled, this is not too tedious listening to me read these paragraphs, is it? Nityananda Pran, is it okay? Okay. Sankirtan and the written word. The Sanskrit word Sankirtan combines the prefix sung with kirtan to glorify or to describe. The prefix sum means with, together with, along with. So that Sankirtan indicates that speaking or singing about Krishna and his glories is conducted as a group activity. Thus, Srila Prabhupada typically translates Sankirtan as congregational chanting or congregational glorification of the Lord. Accordingly, when kirtan is performed within a temple by a group of singers, that is Sankirtan, and when that chanting is taken outside into public places, it is even more so. The scope, the inclusivity of Sankirtan expands. The idea of expansion and intensification, qualitative and quantitative, is included within the meaning of Sankirtan. For the prefix sum not only expresses union, but also thoroughness, intensity, or completeness. What are the three words? Isn't that helpful? In a definition, thinking about how we can, as we meditate on ways to improve the way we do this yajna, these words, I think, are particularly helpful. Thoroughness, intensity, and completeness. Group singing is one specific realization of Sankirtan. Another is Krishna Katha, conversation concerned with topics about Krishna among interested parties. In fact, it was in this form of Sankirtan that Srimad Bhagavatam first became manifest. The Bhagavatam relates the story of its own origin, which took place just after the disappearance of Lord Krishna and just prior to the onset of Kali Yuga. Before Srimad Bhagavatam became a book, it became manifest as the spoken word, as speech uttered and heard by advanced devotees. It appeared first from the mouth of Srila Shukadeva Goswami, who related Krishna Katha to Maharaj Parikshit and an attendant audience of great sages. It made its second appearance when one member of that audience, Suta Goswami, later repeated that conversation just as he had heard it to a group of sages assembled at Naimasharanya. The sages had gathered at the sacred place in order to perform a chain of ritual sacrifices that would counteract the malefic effect of Kali Yuga, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being, quote unquote. The sages opted instead to listen to Sutta's Krishna Katha, in which he repeated what he had heard earlier from Shukadeva Goswami. In this way, Srimad Bhagavatam itself exemplifies what it will explicitly declare further on in the work to be the Yuga Dharma, the specific way of salvation for this Kali Yuga, Sankirtan. Suta Goswami could exactly repeat the words of Shukadeva Goswami because he had what to us would be an astounding power of memory. However, Srimad Bhagavatam informs us that one of the deleterious effects of Kali Yuga on human beings will be the atrophy of the power of memory. Because of this, the whole vast corpus of Vedic literature, including Srimad Bhagavatam itself, was edited and put down in writing by Shukadeva's own father, the sage Krishna Dwaipayan Vyas. So today, because of our Kali Yuga infirmities, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, and other spiritual writings are now shared and distributed not only through oral transmission by sages blessed with perfect memory, as was Shuka to Suta to the sages to the Naimasarnya sages, but in the form of books. In this way, book distribution is literary kirtan, and by Krishna's mercy, it is the way we can continue the book distribution tradition begun by Shukadeva Goswami and Suta Goswami. And Prabhupada wrote this when this topic came up. Regarding Sankirtan and book distribution, both should go on, but book distribution is more important. It is Brihat Kirtan. In the Tokyo airport, one boy had come up to me asking if he could speak to me. I said yes, and then he asked me, "Swamiji, where do you get all that knowledge in your books?" Of course, it is Krishna's knowledge, not mine, but the effect is there. So for wider kirtan, book distribution is better. I'm skipping to some of the Prabhupada quotes here. Do you know these, Nanda? Here's the next one. Regarding Sankirtan and book distribution is also chanting. Anyone who reads the books, that is also chanting and hearing. Why distinguish between chanting and book distribution? These books I have recorded and chanted, and they are transcribed. It is spoken kirtan. So book distribution is also chanting. What is book distribution? Is it also chanting? You sure? These are not ordinary books. It is recorded chanting. What is it? Recorded chanting. Anyone who reads, he is hearing. Then Prabhupada says, you ready for one more? You sure? Okay. Regarding your question, is it all right to assign the entire Sankirtan party for distributing books so that no one will be free for street chanting? Of course, we should not understand the meaning of Sankirtan very, very narrowly. That only chanting and dancing and playing instruments. No, Sankirtan means to glorify the Lord in a congregational manner. So if many devotees are going out daily on the streets and public places for distributing our literature, that is also Sankirtan. Even if no one is chanting, hearing and chanting are essential processes for Sankirtan. So if someone is hearing us singing on the street, or if he is purchasing one book, and if you read sincerely, these two activities are the same. So if there is any occasion of necessity, if there are not very many men available, or if there is prohibition by the municipal authorities, something like that. We may assign everyone for distributing our literatures. There is no loss for that. But it is always better if there are also some devotees loudly chanting on the street. If there is even one man or two men or a small party who are chanting Hare Krishna, that will increase also the sales of books. So if there are sufficient men, if we have got sanction by the authorities, it is always better to have at least a small party chanting along with as many book distributors as possible. So regarding the public chanting, besides book distribution, which is something I've talked about a lot, in the next 7 minutes, which is what we have left, and we're treated to a special ensemble of these truck noise. What is it? Garbage truck. Garbage. I would like to comment about some innovations. Perhaps they're innovations. Maybe it's been done before, but revitalization of some old ideas about Harinam Sankirtan on the streets. Once a month, I can just speak for ourselves at our temple in ISV, which stands for ISKCON of Silicon Valley, or Individual, Spontaneous, and Voluntary. We put on a Harinam Sankirtan performance, which we now call a mini festival, once a month. And for this event, we advertise widely in all the papers, through meetup.com and many other places. We also invite all the devotees. We create a special flyer and a poster to put up so that it's known as a grand event. When we go for the Harinam Sankirtan, we also secure a permit. We find places in the city where we can get a permit. We pay money for it normally. And that gives us a free rein of the area where we're going to set up. So nobody can move us along. Nobody can complain if we use amplification and so forth. And then we go out early and set up about an hour and a half early, and we set up a few tents, pop-up tents. We use signage. When it's in the evening time, we use special lighting. That is, we illuminate the place where the Sankirtan takes place, which, by the way, we call the Harinam Asan. That particular area, we turn into a sacred space, and we put out a carpet. We also use high-end sound amplification, and we use these speakers on stands, and we mic up the madungas and any other instruments like harmonium that we use. And we also choose very carefully who's going to sing, because we found that the tall, or the beat that goes on for the Harinam, makes a huge difference. In experimenting with presenting the chanting to the public, we've watched very carefully. You can see certain beats catch people's attention. They'll actually stop and stay. If the beat becomes too complicated, and there are people who are learning Madanga from here, there, and everywhere, and then they have the idea that the more beats per minute, the better the Madanga is. But it's not true, actually. When the Madanga beat, or the tall, catches the attention of the audience and makes them want to either stay or dance, that's when it's really good. And oftentimes, simple is better. And there are certain beats that catch people more than others. So that's something that we look for very carefully. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu similarly selected his kirtan party and picked out the best singers, the best dancers, the best chanters, and put them forward in organized ways. So we do this a similar thing. We also organize the dancing and provide an area that's specifically meant to invite the public forward so that they can feel free to dance. Men on one side, women on the other side, and there are designated devotees who look out into the audience and see the people who are interested. They're already moving to the beat, and they invite them in to come. So we get lots and lots of people to come and dance. At the booths, we offer books, and we offer face painting for kids in another booth. We offer a free meditation lesson in another booth, and we also have some exhibits where there's questions and answers, so people can come and ask and find out about things. So the result is that when people come around the corner and they see the lights, they hear the tall, they see that there are a variety of things to get involved in, then they stay. And we've seen over time, going from a stand-up Harinam to that is basically there simply for chanting. And there's nothing simply about chanting. Although it's a simple process, it's highly exalted and it's good in all circumstances. But when it's embellished with some thought and consideration into hospitality for the people who come near and aesthetic design that catches people's attention, then it becomes a mini festival. And just as we put on Rath Yatra, and sometimes we spend upwards of $150,000 just to put it on, we can similarly recreate the exact same interest in the audience of people anywhere by putting some thought and design into the Harinam Sankirtan. And it costs a lot less than $150,000. And it can be franchised. In other words, it can be passed on to other people. Maharaj.
I just wanted to know simply the number of people of your team that assembles this project, the mini festival. How many people does it take?
Well, the way we're designing it is that you could start with one person and it'll still be the same brand and we'll still have some of the same accoutrements that you can use. But the festivals that we put on take a team of about five people who specialize in certain things like lighting, sound, putting up the booths, setting up the tables for books and things like that. And then participants from our temple, we get about 75 people who come out to chant and dance on those occasions.
What is your response in terms of numbers of people who will come?
Well, it's dramatic. And we've watched the difference between just going out and singing, which again is exalted and is in and of itself perfect, but there's perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. And as we've put together a plan to show it in ways that are attractive and which are within the frame of reference of the people who are walking by, the attendance has been markedly more. And that people stay longer. They'll come and they'll participate and stay, in fact, till the very end, until we absolutely unplug the last amplifier and just leave. They won't go home.
And also, do you find certain neighborhoods are more receptive? Like, say, you know, if you demographical people, I mean, say Hispanic, Black, Caucasian, do you find that there's a difference in response?
Well, I can't say that we've experimented that widely with a lot of different demographic, but we have seen that in places that are a little bit less, there's a little less competition, even though we've rented the area, leased the area, when there are other acts going on right next to us, people banging on pots and pans, and you know, people do things downtown nowadays to attract attention and get money and stuff. When we have a little bit of a separate area where we don't have that kind of competition, we tend to do better. Although I must say, an interesting fact is that before we got the permits, we used to have a group of Christians come out with these big signs and sort of challenge us. And we always distributed more books on those days because at least in California, people would come by and they say, "Are you with those guys?" And we say, "No." And they said, "Then I'll buy a book, whatever it is." Because when we have more experiment, I can let you know. So, yes, Marsh?
Yeah, do you also go to, like, the green areas, parks?
Yes.
Or is it, I mean,
we've
it doesn't
make
any
areas.
Difference.
They're not as, we like areas that are connected to downtowns. Like one of our most successful areas is a plaza that's right on a main street next to a university. Mm. And we can rent the plaza for $90. Mm. And that way we can set up and we catch all the people who are going to restaurants and bars and things. And it's a lot more fun hanging around with the devotees, that kind of thing. Thank you very much. Gok Premanande Hari Hari Bo Vancha Kalpadrubasha Kripasanabe Vajapatitanam Pavanibyo Vaishnavibyo Namo Namaha.
To get the cooler in the room. So Hare Krishna, for the NAEC meeting, Prabhus and devotees, we'll have breakfast on the second floor room there. Thank you. In a few minutes.